The following message is from our pastor, Robert Haynes, of New Life Community in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Enjoy.
The quality of your life, someone has said, is largely determined by the quality of your questions. You want a better life? Ask better questions. That's a paraphrase of the Tony Robbins quote. I know some people don't really care for Tony Robbins, but I think he's got a lot of good things to say. I would probably add to that, that we ought to ask the right questions to the right people. Because you ask the right questions to the wrong people, you're still going to get bad information. And so today, I want to congratulate you because you're here for the very start of a brand new series called You Ask For It. And today's going to be part one, and we've got four more that are going to come. But for the last couple of months, I've asked you to turn in questions you have from the Bible. And so a lot of you turned in questions, and we had a huge, fantastic list of questions. And so we've selected five of these subjects from those questions. We can't get to all of them in this series, but we're taking what I think are going to be the five most helpful to the greatest number of people. So today is going to be one of those questions. And we've got some good graphics up here, questions and answers. The name of the series is You Ask For It. It's your questions. It's straight answers from the Bible, and we're going to ask God and seek God's answers to the questions that have been submitted. In the foyer, you might have noticed a light pole out there, your questions and God's answers, and so we're going to try and look at God's answers today. Today is the first of five questions we're going to deal with, and the question really is how to overcome addiction. I've shortened it, and if you have a program, if you would take out of that program, there is an outline. There's a lot of stuff we're going to talk about today. It's here. You Ask For It, part one, overcoming an addiction. And if you'd like to take some notes and fill in the blanks as we go, that would be fantastic. By way of introduction, I've got a couple things I want to say that are foundational to this particular subject, Now, first, I just want to ask a question. I want to define it. There are lots of definitions for addiction. And one definition, I actually watched a documentary on Netflix recently, from a scientific perspective about addiction and how it affects the brain and stuff like that. Anyway, here's a definition from mentalhelp.com. It says, addiction is the repeated involvement with a substance or activity despite the substantial harm it now causes because that involvement was or may continue to be pleasurable and or valuable. There's really four key parts to that definition. But it's something that you repeat. It is not limited to a substance. It also could be an activity. A key aspect of this definition is that it causes harm. And yet a person continues to engage in it because of the pleasure that either they at one time received or they even now receive from that. You know, the Bible says that there is a pleasure in sin. Moses in Hebrews 11, it says he chose to forego the pleasure of sin for a season and to be with the people of God where he was actually persecuted. So I just want to ask a question today, not necessarily you personally. Don't answer. I want you to answer by a show of hands. But most of us have been affected by addiction in one way or another. And so the question that I'm going to ask is this: how many of you have been affected by some form of addiction that has affected your life, someone that you know, someone that you're close to, or even you personally? If you've been affected by addiction in any way, just raise your hand. Now, you look around and you see that that's a large percentage of the people that are here today. And that's why you can put your hands down. That's why the first one I want to deal with in this series is, how do I overcome addiction? Now, before we get to these nine things that I'm going to share with you, and it's really not nine steps, like a 12-step program. There's really a one-step program in my mind to overcoming addiction, and that one step is Jesus. And this is breaking down how we can apply the power of Jesus to our lives. But there's several things by way of introduction I want to say. One is this, and it is the Bible said, Paul said this. He said, all things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, that's an interesting thing to say. You know, it's sort of like saying, you know, I can do anything I want to, but I refuse. I make a choice, a conscious choice, that I refuse to be brought under the power of anything. The idea of that is Paul says, any behavior, even if it's all right, even if it's not sinful, I'm not going to do something that has an addictive control and power over my life. That's a good commitment that we can make. And it tells us, Paul made that commitment, we ought to make that commitment, but it tells us that we do have a choice in the matter. Now, sometimes it's like this. I remember years ago, I went on we went on snow skiing trips up north with our teenagers. And I've told you my snow skiing stories. They're similar to my trampoline stories. But I told you about how I conquered the bunny slope, and then I ran this girl over. Then I found out it wasn't even the bunny slope. It was one level below the bunny slope. But if you go up to some of those, some of the high-level hills, they're all color-coded. The black ones, I think, are the fastest, most dangerous ones. And if you're on a black diamond slope, there's a point at which you have a decision to make. You're at the top of the hill, and you have a decision to make. You're going to go down the hill or not? And how do you go down the hill? You just lean what? Okay, some people tumble down the hill, all right, like Jack and Jill. You heard that joke about Jack and Jill. They went up the hill to fetch a pail of liquor. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill got even sicker, that one, that nursery rhyme. So anyway, so you're at the top of the slope, and you're leaning over, and that's how you start. You lean over, and then gravity takes over. There's a point at which you have a decision and you can control. You can walk away. Step away from the slope. But there's a point at which once you lean forward and you start going, you're going down that slope one way or another. You can't change. It's too late to change your mind. It's like when I was at that trampoline park at one point when I leaned over the edge and I jumped and went down, hundreds and hundreds of feet, like this far, to the trampoline below. There was a point of no return. And in addiction, in some sense, is like that. There's a point at which I have a choice, and then once I lean into it, it's as if I don't have a choice anymore. It's difficult because, like Paul said, I could do it whatever I want, but I'm not going to be brought under the power. There's a power that's taking over, and there's a seemingly hopeless outlook that we can have, thinking that I cannot change this. And in one sense, that's true. I can't change it. But let's not leave Jesus out of the equation, because me and Jesus, we can get a lot done. So a lot of us have been affected in one way or another. It's interesting that addiction, I think, is the opposite of one of my favorite Bible verses, which is John 10:10, where Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. That sounds like freedom. That sounds like the kind of life I want to have. Amen. It's kind of life Jesus came to bring me. Amen. What's the rest of the verse? The thief comes really for three reasons. What are those three reasons? Steal, kill, destroy. Sounds like a good definition of addiction to me. Steal, kill, and destroy. Addiction is really about a violation of the commandment, you should not kill, because what you're doing is slowly over time making choices that you're killing yourself over a long period of time. I'm not here this morning. Nobody needs me to heap any guilt upon you, because we don't need that. It's actually the enemy that traffics in condemnation. The Holy Spirit will convict you, that will lead you to repentance, that will lead you to life, but the devil will just try and condemn you and leave you in darkness and despair. I'm here to impart hope. I'm here to say that no matter what you or what anybody you love has done or what addiction you might have fallen into, Jesus sets the captive free. There's a reason in the Bible that the Bible calls us overcomers, not the overcome. And if we've been overcome, then I'm telling you, Jesus is able to help you to be an overcomer. So there are nine things this morning I want to share with you. And I know some of you are saying, nine things, that's a lot. You got front and back. Last week, I was trying to cut my message a little short because we had the video presentation of the youth trip. And unbeknownst to me, I'd actually, so I got a little timer going. This is not really for you, it's for me. But I've got this timer going, and I accidentally, when I was turning a page, I accidentally touched it. And you see what happens when I touch it? So it stopped on 2 minutes and 40 seconds last week. And I was going on thinking, man, I got 2 minutes and 40 seconds to go. And then I realized that the numbers weren't moving. And then when I went out that way and got in the back, it's like, oh, man, I must have talked for a long time. So anyway, I was trying to go short. I didn't go short at all. But anyway, nine things we don't have a lot of time, but we're going to go through these, and I believe that it's going to be tremendously helpful. So for you personally, some of you personally, it may be helpful. But those of you who've already told us, you've been affected. There may be people in your life right now. And so I'm going to share some things that I think will help you to help them as well. So part one, overcoming addiction. Number one is, I have to, what goes in the blank there? I have to want to overcome my addiction. Oh, I've got an error here. I have to want to. There's an extra two in there, right? I have to want to overcome my addiction to overcome my addiction. That's what it ought to say. There's like four twos in that one statement, and there should be only three. I have to want to, scratch out the next two, overcome my addiction to overcome my addiction. There's an interesting question. I did a series. There are about 100 different questions that Jesus asked that are recorded in the New Testament. And I did a whole series on those questions about 3 or 4 years ago. One of those questions is this, and I think it's one of the most fascinating things Jesus ever asked. There are two blind people beside the road. They were crying out to Jesus to have mercy on them. And Jesus in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 32 said this, Jesus stood still and called them and said, what's this question that Jesus asked? What do you want me to do for you? What a great question. You know, sometimes the reason we don't get the things from Jesus that we really want from Jesus is because we're not clear on what we want. They were clear. They said, Jesus, we want to be able to see. We want our eyesight. Well, if Jesus were to ask me that question today, what do you want me to do for you? What answer would I have? What answer would you have? I have to want to overcome my addiction if I'm going to overcome it. Now, here's the point. It's good that somebody else in your life who loves you might want you to overcome your addiction. But it's better for you to want to. And until you want to, probably not a whole lot. It's hey, I'm all for an intervention. I'm all for anything we can do to help somebody that we care about and we love. But it starts with, I have to want to. The Bible says this, God works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He works through our desires. So one of the best things you can do to help somebody else is to help them want to on their own. Because that's, I think, the first step. Now, the problem is sometimes we have these conflicting wants where I want this and I also want this, but they're at, I want to lose weight, but I also want a Jurassic chomp from Dairy Queen. Those are conflicting wants. Now, maybe every now and then I could have a Jurassic chomp from Dairy Queen, but if I have those every day, that's conflicting with my other want. Which one is going to win out? No, please do not say that. Sometimes the truth hurts too. But I've got to get to a point where I want what's best more than anything else. Person might want, I want to serve Jesus, but I want to do this sin. Well, how about Jesus winning out? Amen. How about I want Jesus more than anything else? Amen. How about I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold? Amen. So I have to want to. These conflicting wants, we've got to be aware of that. So the second thing I want to share with you is this. Not only do I have to want to overcome my addiction if I am to overcome my addiction, but the second thing is this. I will believe I can walk in victory. And I added this, I don't think it's in your notes, by the power of Christ. I have to believe I can walk in victory. It's interesting. I think it was Henry Ford that first said it. If you believe you can, or if you believe you can't, you're right. Because if I believe I can't do it, I probably won't do it. I probably can't do it. But if I believe I can, and if you add in that I can do all things, what are the next words? Through Christ who strengthens me, then we've got something there. The scripture that I've got for this. You know, last year I competed. Jimmy and Nancy got me into this. And this year I've made a terrible mistake because my trip to Guatemala in September possibly will conflict with the West Tennessee Senior Olympics. And last year, but maybe not. Maybe my events are going to be after I get back. But it's there is some overlap there. But Jimmy and Nancy got me in it. They said, hey, you're an old guy. You could do well in the West Tennessee Senior Olympics in your age category. It starts at 55. And I'm in the last year of my 55 to 59-year-old competition bracket. And they got me in it. And last year, I won 3 gold medals. 3 events, 3 gold medals. I won't say the whole story because it's not as cool of a story if I tell you everything. But I won a gold medal in free throws. I won a gold medal in three-pointers. And I won a gold medal in, I can't remember the name of it. It's spot shots or hot shots or something like that, where you shoot from various spots on the floor and they're worth different amounts of points and stuff like that. But anyway, when I was preparing for the free throw contest last year, which I need to start preparing this year, start early, practice. I was practicing over here, and I was trying to get my numbers up. And I made 54 consecutive free throws. 54. Now, if you think that's not good, you go try and do it. And if you do that well, then you should enter the West Tennessee Senior Olympics and take my gold medal from me. But anyway, you know, it's interesting that I noticed that when you're shooting and you get in a rhythm, and you're feeling good, and you feel like, man, I can hit every one of these. And a lot of sports has to do with what's in your head. And when you get that confidence going, coupled with the proper skills and practice and right techniques, you can improve at stuff. And I remember that day I shot the 54 in a row. I said, man, I'm going to shoot all day. And I was doing good. But I've noticed that once you miss one, it's much easier to miss another one than to get back on the winning track. So when you miss one, you got to get that out of your head. Forget it and go on and try and make the next one. Well, this guy here, he believes what? Looks to me like his shot is a little flat. I don't know if he's going to make that one or not, but he's working on it. But he believes he can walk in victory in free throw shooting. And we've got to believe that we can walk in victory as well. The scripture that I have for this one is this, Matthew chapter 9, verse 28. It says, and when he had come into the house, the blind man came to him and said, Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Now, the other question was interesting. What do you want me to do for you? This is another interesting question. Do you believe I'm able to do it? And they said, yes, Lord. He touched their eyes and he said, according to your faith, let it be to you. Now, that is a powerful principle in Scripture. Is Jesus able to do all things? What's the question, though? Do you believe? Do you believe Jesus is able to do it? When your own situation, you know, sometimes people find it easier to believe for somebody else than even for themselves. Well, I believe Jesus can do that for that person, but me, I don't know. I've done a lot of bad things. I've been in a lot of bad places. You know, we need to realize that salvation is by grace, not by works. You know how many people in this room were saved by how good you are? Zero. We were all in the same sinking ship. And it's the mercy of Jesus that came by and saved us. Amen. And so when we're thinking like this about we have a problem or our friend has a problem with it. Oh, well, you know, I don't know. You believe Jesus is able to do this? Well, then according to your faith, be it unto you. That law of the kingdom, according to your faith, it works in the positive and the negative. In the positive, yes, I believe. Eyesight restored. addiction healed. Well, it works in the negative also. I'll never be able to change. That's just the way I am. It's all in my genes. I don't believe that. I believe that your genes, and you might have a natural bent towards something. Some people have different weaknesses than others. But I'm telling you, you put Jesus in your heart and amazing things can happen. Say, well, my mother did this, and my grandmother did this, and her grandmother before. It's not that I don't care about that, but I'm telling you, Jesus can change everything. Amen. Jesus is not limited to I have good genes, or I have a good outlook, or I was born this way or born that way. You know what? So what if you're born that way? Jesus can have you born again another way. Amen. I believe I can walk in the power, in victory by the power of Christ. Amen. The third thing is this: I will use the Word of God to win. This was a question that we've had in our 3D Bible studies, and this last Wednesday we had it with 3D Junior, the 9 through 12 year olds. The question is, before I put this scripture up, I want to see if you can answer the question. How, this is a Bible question, how can a young man cleanse his way? What's the answer? Boom, look at that. How can a young man cleanse his way? And that's a young man in a generic, a young woman, old man, old woman, whatever. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. In Ephesians 6, when Paul's talking about the armor of God, what's the offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit? It's the Word of God. I need to learn how to use the Word of God to win. You know, I try and teach the Bible in a way that's going to help you, because I believe the Bible is amazingly practical. I believe the Bible helps us to live a better life. I believe the Bible leads us straight to Jesus. And when you come to Jesus, you can have an amazing and an incredible life in spite of the mountains and Goliaths that might be in your way. He doesn't take all that out of the way. But he said, it's interesting. He says about the mountain, you know, he didn't say, pray that I'll remove the mountain. What does he say to do? You talk to the mountain. You speak to the storm. See, sometimes we're waiting on God to do something that he's waiting on us to do. He says, according to your faith. You believe, I know I can do it, but the question is, will you believe that I can do it through you? Use the Word of God to win. And sometimes we think of the Bible as just like a bunch of facts and information. The Bible was not primarily given for information. It was given for transformation, for the renewing of your mind, so that we can prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Your Word is a light to my path. It's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I may have the lamp and the light mixed up. What is that? I'm walking in the darkness, and what does the Word of God do? It sheds light on where to go and how to go about it. The fourth thing is this: I will replace bad things with good things. And this is a very important principle in overcoming an addiction. As long as we're focused on, well, I won't do that again. I'm going to stop doing that. I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to do it again. The more you think like that, the more you're going to do it. What you have to focus on is replacing that with something better. And when I'm tempted to do this, I'm going to force myself to do something good. Think about what the Bible says. The Bible says this: do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's the replacement principle. I'm going to replace the bad things with what? Better things, or best things, or super, or the things that Jesus wants me to do about thinking, concerning thinking. Instead of just saying, I'm not going to think bad stuff, well, then focus on thinking whatever is good and whatever is pure and whatever is noble, whatever, if there's any praise, if there's any virtue, that's what I'm going to think on. I'm going to replace the bad things with good things. I'm going to speed up here a little bit. Number five, I will prepare to win and avoid setting myself up for failure. Now, what is this guy in this picture doing? He's not on a baseball field. He's at a batting cage and he's practicing. I'm pretty sure he's practicing. The ceiling's too low. All right, if you don't believe me, then pretend that he's practicing. Hilda doesn't believe he's not in the game. He doesn't even have a uniform on. When was the last time you saw a baseball player wearing shorts? Practicing. What you do in secret is going to make a difference when the real test comes. Practice. Prepare. You know, Julian, you know, he's not here today because he's in this baseball tournament. But you know, the teams that do the best on the field are the teams that really did best in practice. You get to practice, you get to prepare to win. The scripture says this: put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. What is preparing to win? Well, I'm gonna stay away from certain places. I'm gonna stay away from certain things. Why? Because I want to win. You know, if you're driving a NASCAR, you need to know what direction to drive on the track that ultimately is going to lead towards the checkered flag. You can't go the wrong way. You can't drive through the, what do they call it, the infield or whatever? Can't drive through that. No shortcuts. Is it all left? Turn left. Okay, it shows how much I know about NASCAR. All right. I remember I used to... Lake McCullough, when he was a little kid, he's a big NASCAR fan. He said, "Who you think's going to win today?" Of course, I don't even know that there is a NASCAR race today. You know, he said, "Who you going to win today?" And the only name I could really remember was Biffle. And I would say, "Biffle." He said, "Biffle, he's not going to win." I didn't even know Biffle's first name. Does anybody know Biffle? Greg Biffle? Is that his name? Is he from around here?
No.
So let's move on then. All right, so number six. I'm going to find a godly friend or maybe some multiple friends to confess my sin to and encourage me. The truth of the matter is, it's not that you can't do it alone, but you up the odds if you have somebody that really cares about you, that's in your corner and cheering for you. I mean, even Rocky had somebody in his corner, right? Well, I need somebody in my corner. I need somebody in my corner that I can be authentic with and genuine with and honest with, and somebody that's going to help me to win. David needed a Jonathan in his life, and Jonathan needed a David in his life. The Bible says this in James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. One problem in overcoming an addiction is this: sometimes people have the wrong friends. I was talking to somebody not long ago. They were talking about their friends. I said, "Sounds to me like you need some new friends." And I'm telling you, if you got some bad friends that are encouraging you in the wrong direction, the Bible says evil company corrupts good morals. And you might need to get rid of those friends and get some different friends. Number seven. I will get serious. Anybody know who this guy is? He was a famous runner from Jamaica. I think his name was Usain, wasn't it? Usain Bolt? And he makes it, yeah, his name is right on there. In case he forgets, his name is right on there. I'll get serious. He was a great runner from Jamaica. I'll get serious about what? Victory. This is an interesting Bible verse. And I do not think this verse is supposed to be taken literally. But I think it's driving a point home. It's a literary technique called hyperbole. Doesn't mean it's wrong, but Jesus making a point. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, what does he say to do? Cut it off and cast it from you. I think Jesus' point here is that we need to take serious measures about sin. That's the point. Not that we need to be cutting off hands and feet. He said, because it's better for you to enter into life lame and maimed rather than having two hands and two feet and to be cast into everlasting fire. Now, let me ask you, if that's your choice, get rid of the foot, get rid of the hand, and go to heaven or keep them and go to hell, I think I'm going to get rid of the hand or the foot. I think to be with Jesus is better than to have my hand and foot. But that's not the point. I think when we think that way, we're missing the point. Jesus is saying we ought to be serious about sin, serious about holiness, serious about overcoming. I think that's the point. David and Goliath. You all know the story of David and Goliath. Goliath was about a giant, about 9 or 10 feet tall. He killed a bunch of people. Nobody in Saul's army was willing to get on the battlefield and face him. Goliath said, me against anyone, your best warrior, send him out. And who ended up going on the field? Little David. How old was little David at the time? Most people think he's maybe a teenager, 15, 16, 17 years old. He goes out there. He'd been watching the sheep. He brought some Lunchables for his brothers. He went to Kroger, got some Lunchables, went out there to take them to him. And David sees what's going on. He said, I'll fight him. I'm telling you, when David stepped on the battlefield, he was serious about it. He was serious about it. Why? Because he knew he could die. But he didn't believe that. He said, you come with javelins and swords. I come in the name of the Lord. Amen. I don't want Saul's armor. All I want is my slingshot and my 5 stones. Some people say, why did he have 5 stones? There was only one Goliath. Was it because he was going to miss? You read later in the Bible that Goliath had 4 brothers. I think David was ready to take on all of them. Get serious about it. Number 8, I will send a clear message to the devil. Get out. All right, I've got a scripture. I think I changed this from the program. I don't think you have this written down, so you might want to write it down. Mark 1:25. I like this one better for this point. Jesus rebuked him. And if you read it in the context, the him is this demon that was inside a person. He didn't rebuke the person. He rebuked the demon. Jesus rebuked him saying, I love this. Be quiet and what? Get out. There's only 2 things we ever need to know about dealing with the devil in the Bible as far as speaking to the devil. You don't need to sit down and have a conversation with the devil. These are the 2 things. Shut up. Get out. Amen. Sometimes we don't ever start getting better until we're so sick and tired of where we are and say, I cannot live this way another day, not another minute. Number 9, it's the last one. There's lots more we could say, but I'm just giving you some big ideas here. I will stay humble and avoid pride. I will stay humble and avoid pride. James 4:6 puts it this way, that he, God, gives more grace. He says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If you want to experience more of the power of God, the more humble you are, the more of God's power is going to flow through you. The more full of yourself you are, the less room there is for God to move in power through you. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says this, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. When I start getting, man, I got this together. I got this. I got this. I got this. Look out. Let him who says, I got this, take heed lest he fall. Amen. That's not what it says, but that's the idea. It's not that I've got this. It's that Jesus' power flowing through me. We've got this. I'm not in this thing alone. Well, what are we going to do as a result of what we've talked about today? What is my next step? If you would pull out your Connect card once again, we're going to land the plane. Turn to side 2. My next step in response to the ministry of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is that I will. Well, there are a lot of good verses we looked at today. Romans 12:21, that's the one I'm going to suggest. I will make Romans 12:21 my verse of the weekend. That's it. Write it in right here. Or in just a minute, we're all going to take some time and fill out our cards. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's a great verse to focus on. Second thing, or second possible next step, is this. I'll overcome my addiction by following these biblical principles. Maybe there's somebody here today. Maybe I'm struggling with something and I need to overcome it. Well, here's a good strategy. Here's how we can do it. I'm going to overcome my addiction. I'm not going to live another day with it. I start today. You know, a good plan started today is better than a perfect plan started tomorrow. Better to start when? Now. Think about all the times the Bible used the word now. Third possible next step is this. I will give this teaching to someone who needs to overcome. I'm going to give this message today. Maybe not next week, but in the next couple of weeks on that rack right there on that table in the back. This message will be back there. Pick it up. Doesn't cost anything. Pick it up. Give it to somebody that's struggling with something and say, hey, would you just please listen to this? I think it'll help you. What's the worst thing that can happen? They take it out of the box, turn it into a weapon, a martial arts weapon, and they fly it at you. That's probably not going to happen. Give it to somebody. And then the last thing I'll mention is this. I will commit my life to Jesus today. You know, it's not that a person... Is it possible? Do some people overcome addictions without Jesus? Yeah, I mean, some people do. But I'm telling you, with Jesus, you're much more likely to succeed long term. Things are always better with Jesus. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your goodness and grace. Thank you for the start of this series. You asked for it. And God, this question today, how can I overcome addictions? God, if there's anybody here this morning that's struggling with an addiction, God, I pray that your power might so infuse their heart and mind that they say, enough is enough. I'm going to win. I'm going to get serious about victory. I'm going to experience your power working in me in this matter. And if I fall, I'm going to get up again and I'm going to ride this thing on till victory. And I'm never giving up. God, if there's somebody here this morning that as yet doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, God, I pray that you'd open their heart and help them to take that step of faith and commitment to you and cast themselves upon your mercy today. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be helpers of those that struggle with addiction in our society. And there are thousands of people all around us that struggle with things. And to just, like John the Baptist, just point them to you, Jesus, because you're the ultimate source of strength and power and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit us at www.newlifeob.org. We hope to see you again soon.